Come and say, I'm not the one that sinned, though. It's my waist that joined her waist. Me, I cannot fornicate. I cannot commit adultery. It's my waist. This is my waist. Just get up. Dust. After this, a song like that, all I want is your waist, Abby. Just that you are a fornicator. You are an adulterer. You are a lustful person. If you just say it, God says, only acknowledge your iniquity. Just agree. Please, my emphasis is that Psalm 51. Let Christians not tell me that it's not relevant. It is relevant. It does not remove anything from the doctrine of righteousness by faith. I said to us that righteousness has two levels. There is righteousness that God is not, you know, I've been saying many times. Many people you think they are going to hell, they are not going. God is not looking for who he will send to hellfire. He has enough. There are many people who are already going to hell. He doesn't have to add to it. Broad is the road. The road is broad. Many people are already on it. So God is good. Don't think God is saying, hey, what will I do now? I committed the unpardonable sin. What did you do? I took that guy's money. And I died immediately after I took the money. When you go to heaven, they will collect the money from you, send it back to the earth, but you are going to heaven. I'm telling you the truth. You know me, I won't lie to you. So I'm not trying to scare you with hellfire. Are you getting my point? But please, stealing is stealing. Lying is lying. Are you getting my point? Lost is lost. One pastor in America, I read it yesterday. I said, this guy didn't pray Psalm 51. I read a few days ago. He came to church and announced that he has HIV/AIDS. He's HIV positive. And one woman in church was very angry. Why? She has been sleeping with him. And this is, I'm serious, Charisma News. International News. The woman was really angry. You are angry just because HIV positive. You are not angry that you are committing adultery. And the people are now, everybody's now angry. Why? Because she's not the only one. Pastor of a church. Christian church, not a Muslim church. If when the whole thing began, he had just read Psalm 51. Are you getting my point? God would have helped him. That's what I'm talking. This is my talk. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Now listen, we have the seed of Christ in us. Amen? Amen? And that is the reason why if you do anything that is not in accordance with the will of God, he will rise up and say, boy, what are you doing? You now have to work hard to sear your conscience with wrong doctrine. And that's what I'm preaching. Don't. That seed of Christ in you always rebels. In quotes now. And you are moving a path that's not right. And you are keeping company that's not edifying. Yes. And that is the difference between you and the unbeliever. And so, when you see those things, you start moving towards, like I said, that light, moving closer to God. How do you remove? That's where the teaching began from. David, remember David we're talking about? Because I wanted to be sure that we can identify with him. David thought he was a good man. This was a man that loved God with all his heart. In fact, the way the Bible used to talk about David is that he did everything that was right in the sight of God apart from the time of Uriah. That's what the Bible used to say about him. Why did God let that happen to David? Because David thought he was a good man. Like many Christians today believe wrongly that because I have the seed of God in me and everything I do is correct. God said, I will disgrace you. Not because I like to disgrace you, but because I've been correcting you in secret now. You won't hear. I can tell you for sure, God corrected David in secret. He spoke to him many ways. Some people called him and said, Oga, when we are driving, your eye know they look straight. What's going on? Say, what do you mean? I'm just kind of the environment for enemies. He said, how come all these enemies are female? I don't understand. He said, Joab, mind yourself. He said, yes, my lord. Okay, I don't go talk. Then one day they hear that, Nabal has died. David said, Nabal has died. Where's Abigail? Did she die too? No. Bring Abigail for me. He said, okay, why all of a sudden? Because David has been looking at Abigail. Where the men were seen hanging. You see, I'm telling you, you think it was the day Nabal died that David suddenly noticed that Abigail is a fine woman. David on the eye Abigail, what do I say? In fact, David, I'm not sure, I'm just using you to make people laugh. In case he's hearing me, no, he ever. I suspect that was why I wanted to kill Nabal. David, don't be angry at me, I'm just wondering. Just wondering. Because the man had been looking at Abigail while she was still married to Nabal. That's why the day Nabal died, the guy said, praise God. I was wondering, how long was this man going to live? It sounds funny. This thing was inside this, my bro. God was tired. And they just called all the angels. Just called all the angels. Yeah, guys, leave him. Leave him. All the ones who were protecting him from manifesting. Leave him. The moment they left him, the man couldn't say he was scanning for enemies again. He couldn't explain why his eye was roaming to and fro. Because now, he did not only do adultery, he did murder to cover adultery. God said, okay, what else do I need to do to prove to you that you need to write Psalm 51? Good enough, but that David got the point. And I'm saying to us Christians today, we should not allow ourselves to get disgraced because God is trying to purify us. Many of the scandals that men of God fall into, and Christians generally, that is why. God will have corrected them bit by bit. But instead of them to praise Psalm 51, they start justifying. When they now hear somebody preach a wrong doctrine to them, they now start following that doctrine. Instead of them to praise Psalm 51, they say, no, I'm a child of God. Anything I do is correct. God says, this is your iniquity. It's correct. He says, it's your flesh that is sinning. All right, no problem. I will disgrace your flesh. That was precisely what David and I experienced. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. Just emphasizing that Christians must pray this. We said, how do we purify the spirit? Purification of the spirit is through prayer. That's what it is. It is through confession. Let's read that our 1 John chapter 1, which is one in which we were taught the thing directly. 1 John chapter 1. Let me read from verse 5. Just to take the whole thing as the context of it. Said, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That statement is very deep. Because many things in your life, you experience darkness. John is saying that that's an area in which you have to have the light of God shine upon that area. Because if he's experiencing darkness, then you are lying. You have not yet achieved proper fellowship with him. That's how light shines into that area of your life. But let's just go on. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess, that is, instead of saying we have no sin, like I've been explaining, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, please, my emphasis is that verse, is on that verse 9. He said, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. This is what God does. These are spiritual things. Anything God wants to do, there's usually a way by which we connect with it. And that issue is a matter of faith. Do you understand my point? This is what I mean. If God wants to cleanse you, he has the hyssop in his hand. That's what David was saying. He said, purify me with hyssop. Hyssop is a kind of like sponge, yes, made out of herbs. All right? Like, you know, the way you produce sponge locally. That they used to apply the blood those days. Used to sprinkle the blood. So David said, purify me with that blood. Purify me with hyssop. And God said, if I'm going to do that, you need to ignite it. How? I'm not saying you should do anything. No, that's what people don't understand. Listen, this life of grace is interesting. God wants to do his work. He's just saying, ignite. Do you understand my point? I mean, he has put the switch in your hand. You just turn on the switch. He said, purify me. All right, you want to be purified? How do we start? Confess. So he said. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. That is the first thing. Because everything you do that is wrong, even though you're a Christian, has repercussions. And forgiveness is not just that don't worry about it. It is that repercussion is removed. That's what forgiveness is. But then, will you do it again tomorrow? Those are the issues. The thing inside you that makes you do it again, all right, is called unrighteousness. That was why John emphasized that he that doeth righteously is righteous. That if somebody is doing what is unrighteous, it is because unrighteousness has not been totally purified from his heart. And God didn't say, go and fast, go and pray, go and do something, you know, like give an offering, jump up and down. No, he said, just do one thing. What do? Confess. You know the problem with the world today? The world wants to entrench unrighteousness by telling people unrighteousness is not unrighteous. Let me explain what I'm saying. The agenda of the people that promote the homosexual thing, you know, in the Western world, they try to move to Africa, but the thing is being repelled, you understand? So they've relaxed for some time. There are worse things to deal with now, all right? So they've left us alone for a while, you understand? And I just believe, this is my own conviction, that God is reserving Africa and some places as where people can, to stand as light, to let people know that some of you have really gone crazy. I was listening to Derek Prince the other day. Derek Prince was very, in his days, all right? He was still alive then. He was so happy with the Anglican, the African bishops, like he said, that thank God for the, I had never seen the man excited. And when he's talking, he's very cool. That was the first time I saw him, you know, punch the air. He said, thank God for the African bishops. Because they were the ones that came to Europe and told the Europeans, you guys are out of your mind. Archbishop, I came out at that time, the Archbishop of the primate, he told them that I will cast that demon out of you. He told the white bishops, if you need deliverance, come. I'm available. Let me cast the demons out of you. But this is what I'm going to explain. They are trying to tell you that it is not a sin. That's what they are trying to do. They want to show you. They are removing the word homosexual. They are changing it for gay. And I've told myself, I will not use the word gay. Like it was the reference that also said it somewhere else. That gay means happy. That let's not corrupt that word gay. Gay does not mean homosexual. It means you are happy. You are lively. Alright? How's the party? We had one gay party. What that means that everybody was happy and jumpy. You could have been praising God. There was no pervert inside. So the reference said, well, get it. Use the proper word. Homosexual is a homosexual. But they are trying to push to the world so that the world will say it is normal. And once you say what is wrong is right. The Bible says two things. Number one, woe to him that says evil is good and good is evil. So woe upon your household if you make those statements. But number two, which is what I was talking about here, God is unable to help because his purification comes from one thing, starts with one thing, admission. That they will accept that it is wrong. He's not saying try and change. Listen, there is no habit that Christians can't beat if they will just settle down and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. Are you getting my point? This is not about self-condemnation now. It's about releasing. A story I like to tell all the time is that of Derek Prince. Not Derek Prince, sorry. What is his name? Neurosurgeon. Ben Carson. Ben Carson, as a young boy, was an angry young boy. Angry. He used to flare up in anger, boom, rapidly. Don't forget, the Bible says, those that do these things do not inherit the kingdom. You know, we have been talking about it. Anger was one of those things. The man was always angry. He said one day, he didn't realize how bad it was until he had started punching his own mother. Before his brother jumped in and held his hand, he knew something was out of order. Then one day, a friend of his said something to him. It annoyed him. The guy just, you know, a small thing. He took a knife and sank into the boy's stomach. He said, you know what saved him? The boy was wearing a belt with a big buckle. So the knife hit the buckle and broke. That was the amount of force he applied. That was the day he looked. He said his friend was so shocked, he got up and ran. He didn't fight back. Are you getting my point? It's like, you just say that, Pastor, please, I want to pass, and I give you a slap. You know, you can't vex. You know something's out of order. You first move away. He said, Israel, come, Felix, come. What is going on? It's not as if, that man slapped me. How could he have slapped me? How can he? Your own was that, is that, what's going on here? Are you guys praying? Pray for him. You know that kind of thing. So his friend was alarmed that, what did I do to you that you tried to kill me? Because he was, if that guy was not wearing that belt, he may as well have killed the boy. And you would never have heard of Ben Carson today. That knife attack was his own Uriah and Bathsheba. Because after that, he said he too, he got up and ran home. He crawled inside the closet and stayed there for some hours and said, God, help me. You know, some people will say, I've warned people to stop talking to me, and they know that I'm an angry person. Please, all these people that will be talking anyhow to somebody, they've shifted the blame somewhere else. It's not me, it is them. They know I'm very sensitive. Why are they still talking? The whole world must learn that you are sensitive. They will not keep quiet when you are approaching. You should know you have a personality disorder. That's what we call it in medicine. When your trait, your behavioral trait is causing, making it difficult for you to relate with other people, that's when it's a disorder. But the boy didn't do like that. He went in and prayed and said, God, help me. I almost killed my own friend. This anger is a real issue. If you don't help me, how where else will I go? He stayed there. By the time he came out of that closet, a few hours later, he was so gentle. Years later, he became, in his office, he was called Gentle Ben. He had become so gentle. You must understand, he would never have become what he became. Now, they talk about him, like, will he run for the next presidential election? That is the discussion about Ben Carson now, that is he going to run for president? Apart from being world famous as a neurosurgeon, walked into a, you know, a pure white institution, became what they call chief of pediatric neurosurgery at the age of 33. White people hardly achieve it at that age. He was not a black person. He was so gentle, he said, he will enter a ward and the nurse will look at him and say, oh, assuming he's an oddly. Assume there's Mr. Anderson, all right? Mr. Anderson is not yet ready to go to the theater. I said, oh, I didn't come to pick Mr. Anderson. I said, what are you doing? Oh, sorry, my name is Dr. Carson. I'm an intern. My name is Dr. Carson. I'm a resident. He said, the nurses will be embarrassed. You know, racial profiling, stereotyping. He said, he is the one that will be feeling sorry for them. A typical black person will say, you think I look like Mr. Anderson? Never say, you have never seen a black person be a doctor before? Yeah? That is what a typical black man would have done. He would have given it to them, you understand? But I can't say, no, he never used to. That he used to feel sorry for them. That he said, but again, think about it. That he's probably the first resident in neurosurgery that's black that he has seen. He said, but another thing is that till he left, that is forever, those people are his allies. That is, they don't want to offend him again. You can imagine. He said, if he had given them a piece of his mind, like a typical black person would have done, they would have avoided him for all the days. You understand? But he didn't do that. But that was what God worked in him one day when he went into his closet and said, God, this anger, it must come to an end. That's what John was talking about. And God took the hyssop with the blood of Jesus and wiped his soul clean of anger. So that he got a title, gentleman. That's what brought him to what he became in life. I said to you, many things that God wants to do in your life, he said, I can't manifest myself except there's a purification of the spirit. Many black people in America are angry. They have their reasons. But listen, whether you have your reason or not, anger is anger. It drives away the presence of God. Whether you have your reason or not, all right? That unforgiveness is in there. It drives away the presence of God. No matter how justified Ben Carson felt, listen, what would have happened to him most likely? If he did not pray that prayer, he would have ended in jail like many people like him. It's a story I've told you here many times because I believe it was the Holy Spirit that just used it to help me understand something. A young boy at the age of 17, for no reason, took a gun and killed a white man who was driving in his own car. This boy did not have a criminal record. Christian Amampo asked him, why did you do it? He said, I don't know. Now, listen, I was watching this boy a few weeks before they executed him, because they, of course, Texas. They killed him because he was sentenced to death. He said, will I say to my friends? I said, he said, it's not likely. I'm the leader amongst them. That was what he said. I was watching this young boy. He did that at the age of 17. They executed him a few years after, maybe in his early 20s. He said, why did I do it? I don't know. That's how, till he died, he did not know why he did it. But as I was watching it, I believe what the Holy Spirit gave me the reason why he did it. I said, this boy is angry. The boy was angry, he did not know. What was he angry with? Yeah, angry with the system. Angry with how the whites have treated the blacks. His parents will sit at home and poison his mind. His friends will sit with him and poison his mind. Be careful what you say in front of your children. Or the uncles that didn't help you. You are making them hate the uncle. And no matter the justification, hatred is still hatred. And the presence of God will not dwell there. This boy was angry. This was the way I understood it. The boys were just playing, let's steal a car. He got a white man under his power for the first time in his life. He did not know when he pulled the trigger. Once I saw, I think it was a live program or so. Either it was a film based on a true story, but a woman was in jail for life because of armed robbery. That was, I think, in Germany or somewhere. So they were just talking about it one day. She participated in armed robbery and she shot a guard or something. Why did she say, for the first time in my life, I felt powerful? Do you know, I'm tying the two together. That she felt that suddenly she had this air of invincibility about her. All her life, maybe she'd been oppressed and abused, but now she had power. And one man that was supposed to be a guard stood in her front. She took a gun and shot him. Anger. I think that's what happened to that boy. He suddenly felt powerful. He said, look at you, white man. Look at you on the floor, begging for your life. Now a black man has power over you. Pum, shot the man. And then, of course, maybe that boy was supposed to be a cardiac surgeon, a brilliant lawyer, a physicist, a brilliant historian. Maybe he would have been in the Silicon Valley designing another Facebook. But we'll never know. He's dead. What killed him? The boy was angry. But Ben Carson, what happened? He too was angry. But he took his anger, ran into the closet, and said, "Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." It's not the society. They are not the reason why I'm angry. I'm angry because my spirit is defiled. This is what Christians do with prayer. Why would it take Abraham 25 years to receive Isaac? Because he needed to be changed. That's where we started from. We said from Luke chapter 18, men ought always to what? Pray and not to lose heart or faint. Why? Because these things have a process. These things are working in a process. There is a process. And these are the processes we are talking about. God is taking you from one step to another. And he says, listen, you, my man, you cannot go far like this. You, my woman, you can't go far like this. And he will let you know. Don't justify it. I talk like this because my parents have always been like this. I talk like this because my friends don't understand me. As if somebody was born to understand you. No. What do? You take Psalm 51. You know, there are many, oh God, there are so many defilement of spirit. You know, a friend of mine said, he was telling my wife something, that his brother, there's a nice guy, you guys can do business with him, just make sure he doesn't handle money. You know, my wife does business. She sells things. That is, human beings just hate to part with money. They don't keep their words. Like I keep on saying, if you're a non-believer, it doesn't concern me. It's when you're a Christian that's annoying. My friend sent it by his brother, listen, you guys just make sure he doesn't handle money. Any Christian with that reputation, prosperity is far from you. Pray from now till tomorrow. If you like, tight till you are so tight, you can't move again. Give offering until you become a whole burnt offering yourself. You still will not prosper. Why? Because he that is faithful in little is the one that will be faithful in much. He said, if you have not been faithful in that which belongs to another person, who will give you your own? So if I'm like that, what do you do? That's what we're talking about. This is what Christians would do, prayer. If you have enemies, they can't do you anything. When there's an enemy, just in time. The Lord is good. Listen, forget enemies. Prayer time, the enemy that destroys a Christian is inside him. A Christian, you give him money. How much? 20,000 naira. After 1 week, you say, I can't explain what happened to it. Just know you're not planning to prosper. They give you 20,000 naira on Monday. By Thursday, they say, where am I? You say, I can't explain. Either you have memory failure, or if, in which case you need prayer so that your brain can be restored to normal function, or your spirit has been defiled and it can't hold abundance. Do you get my point? Listen, anything you see unbelievers are doing, you too, is your trait. My brother, don't sleep until you have Ben-Kassin it out of your life. You know the story of Ben-Kassin? Yes. You get and say, Lord, what is going on? Any fine thing I see, I buy. I can't control the lust of the eyes. You know the thing about Christians? They know that the lust of the flesh is bad. So if they see one, they say, do you know that girl is sleeping with that boy? They will die and go to hell. But she has bought the ring on credit. She has bought shoes on credit. Last year she bought iPhone 5. The iPhone 6 came out. She suddenly needs iPhone 6. See, you're paying small on cosmetics. There are things you don't pay small on. If you can't buy Mary Kay, go to the market. There's pancake they sell there. And for goodness, I keep on telling you, join the parlor for just 2 years until you prosper. You go to a church where nobody applies anything. What's your problem with you must buy makeup on credit? There are things that in this life, they are meant to be done with you know, money that you could give to a beggar. Do you understand my point? Hey, Jesus is Lord. Loss of the eyes, you know, it destroys a lot of people. They come, this is the latest television now. 52-inch LED. Sometimes I tell my wife, you know, maybe there's something I could afford and it's nice. I said, you know why I don't want to buy it? Said, well, I said, I just want to tell myself I don't need it, and if I see it, I don't want it, I've overcome it. Are you getting my point? Someone said, you like an LCD, LED? I said, what is it going to show that the one I have currently doesn't show well? How many hours in a week do I watch TV? One day, one of my friends, one of my colleagues said, oh God, you will like it. I said, what? Is this complete set of, I think, Samsung or LG? He went to the mall there to go and look at it. He bought one for himself, and I said, me, I need that. I shouldn't buy his own type. I should buy the other type. He said, why? Because I'm his senior. He was trying to explain to me. That because I'm his senior, I need the bigger one. And I said, how much? He said, guy, it's not too bad. It's 900,000. I said, 900,000. I should go and use. He said, okay, you know, it fits, you know, your status. I look like this man. If I catch. He actually meant that I should go to the mall and go and pick one fat, you know, latest modern LED smart TV, complete with home theater, all the work surround system. I mean, I was like, that's nice. Okay. How much is it? I expected to hear something like maybe 200K. And I said, I don't need that kind of thing. He now said, 900. Like, what? Do you know many men? They will go and look at it. And suddenly realize that they are mates. Oh God. The day you deliver yourself from mates, you have prospered already. Listen, this lust of the eyes. Listen, forget this just whether I buy or didn't buy. It's actually a spiritual trait which does not allow God to dwell in the lives of many of us Christians. It's not everything your eye sees that you need. Many of the latest model phones that come out, just wait for 6 months, half the price. Same thing. Is that not so? If you have the pocket change, fine. If you don't, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Until you cleanse yourself of that defilement. The presence of God in prosperity is far from many people. Please, I'm watching my time. Let us close. The Lord is good. What have I tried to explain today? In summary, that Psalm 51 is still relevant to the lives of believers today. Let's rise to our feet and just pray for a minute, and then we'll close. Everybody, open your Bibles to that Psalm 51. What we are going to do is that we are going to read a few verses together. And then I will just leave everybody to pray. Now we are going to read verse 1, verse 7. All right? Let's just read it together. Remember, verses 1, 2, and 7. All right, let's read it together. Any version you have, read it properly. Read it like you want your neighbors on your sides to hear it. All right, 1, 2, go. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Verse 7, purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. The Lord is good. Let's begin to pray. Each person, as I was speaking, you knew your area. That's how it is. God, I like what the direct prince said, that God normally operates like a finger, that the Holy Spirit will put his finger right on the spot. Normally, for most of us, it's not everything that's our problem. It's just one or two things. So please, let's begin to pray. Just for 1 minute. Just for 1 minute. It's just confession. He said, if you just acknowledge your iniquity, just acknowledge. For some people, it is envy. Anytime a friend makes progress, you can't sleep well that night. You can't sleep well that night. You said, you're not thinking about him, you're just wondering about you. God, look, it is still envy. Many still think that it's really, you know, one day they ask the man, say, how come you don't preach in your church? He said, because I've not bought a car yet. You see ignorance. Instead of him to admit that I don't know enough, or there are people who are more anointed than me present, why should I occupy the space? He says, because I have not bought a car. When I buy a car too, they will respect me. That's just, I don't even know which word to use for that kind of sin. It's a sin of stupidity. That's the only way I can describe it. Just whatever be it, the Holy Spirit, in fact, that's the thing. The Holy Spirit was putting a finger on it. Was putting a finger on it as we were preaching the word. The Holy Spirit was putting a finger on it. And I want you to understand that God, what he's doing, once you have said it, yes, this is what I have done that is right. This is a defilement of my spirit. And that's it. It starts purging. If that thing ever arises again, don't say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Confess it again. Confess it until God has done his complete work in you. Until you are perfect and entire, like James says, wanting in nothing. Let's just give the Lord thanks because he has heard us. Let's give him thanks. Let us give him thanks. Because indeed he has heard. Let's give him thanks. The Lord, we thank you. I just thank him. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the purification by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that indeed we have been born again. Everybody, let us declare, say, in the name of Jesus.
I am born again.
My life belongs to Christ. The seed of God dwells in me. I have been made righteous through my faith in Christ Jesus. Say it again. I have been made righteous through my faith in Christ Jesus. Now I want us to say this. Say, I am not trying to attain to righteousness. My quest is to live like I have been made. I was created for good works. I was created to carry his presence. Say, Lord, do your work in me. Purify me with hyssop. Let me come forth clean. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we've prayed.
Amen.